All right, are you ready? What are you giving up for Lent? Think about it. The season of Christmas has just ended, and it seems that we put all that stress behind us. And now in 10 short days, Lent begins. Job writes, "Is not man's life on earth a drudgery?" Our first reading from Job may leave us a little depressed. "Remember that my life is like the wind. I shall not see happiness again." Job is one of those books you have to read in its entirety, from the beginning to the end. Here was a man who had everything, who lost everything. What was he going to do? The story is that of a man of faith. He laments his earthly reality. Personally, I think he's a little bit too hard on himself, but he will not curse God, even though his surviving family and friends tell him he has every right to do so. He accepts his fate. And in the end, because of his steadfast faith, he was greatly rewarded. That's why you have to read from the beginning to the end. Because you know how it starts. It starts off as a gentleman's bet between God and Satan. "Take everything away from him and he will curse you. Go ahead, do what you will. My servant shall remain faithful." Of course, God wins. He always does. Job gives us an example on how we are to live our daily lives. Our earthly existence is full of challenges that are not always favorable to us. Now, here is the other reality. This is the reality of our lives. At some point in our lives, maybe more than one point in our lives, we will experience a tragedy in our lives. It will test our resolve, our physical, emotional, and spiritual health. The question is, are you ready for it? And if it has happened to you once, have you recovered, and are you ready for it again? Welcome to the human existence. Because this is what happened to Job. And he remained steadfast. And guess what? He was rewarded more than what he had before. How many times in the gospel do we hear Jesus say, "Your faith has saved you"? Just recently in the daily readings, Jesus talks about how no prophet is acceptable, is accepted in his own hometown. Now he came back home. Isn't he the carpenter's son? Who is this guy? He was amazed at their lack of faith, and he wasn't able to perform any miracles there. Because of their lack of faith, we have to invite Jesus in, and that's when the healing will occur. I just preached this, the daily mass at the hospital, where there are doctors and nurses and healthcare providers and those involved in administration and everything else that goes around with operating that huge institution. Because the deeper we shine the light of Christ into the wound, the deeper the healing can occur. You have to let him in. And sometimes that can be painful. The analogy I use in the daily mass is that the surgeon's scalpel is an instrument of healing. But for that instrument of healing to work, it's got to cut into the skin. Same thing with our soul. We got to let the divine physician into our hearts so the healing can occur. Because the reality of our earthly existence, our life on earth is a drudgery. So we make the best of what we have been given, manifesting the kingdom as best we can. This is where we have to be careful. There are many ways of making the best of it, and a lot of them are not keeping with God's commandments. You can either focus on self, that person's going to get you in trouble, or you can focus on the example and live your life the way he lived his life, a total sacrifice of one to the other. Paul writes to the Corinthians, an obligation has been imposed on me, and woe to me if I do not preach it. Guess what? That same obligation that was imposed on Paul was imposed on us as well. Go out to all nations, baptizing. I keep telling you this over and over again. Go out to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach all I have commanded you. As soon as we are baptized, we are members of the body of Christ. You should know this by now. Priest, prophet, and king. And God expects all of us to fulfill all three of those offices. There's no such thing as a passive Christian. Is it going to be easy? Of course not. There is one thing you don't have to do, by the way, and that is save the world. He already did that. Probably the best lesson I learned in the seminary is one of the professors says, you're not the Messiah. Stop trying to save the world, okay? He already did that. But there are many who wander and do not know the way. That's our mission, to bring them back to Christ. And while manifesting, building the kingdom, we still have the mundane aspects of our lives to fulfill. Raise your families, pay your bills and your taxes, get an education. These are all for our betterments, so we can better the world. We should not get caught up too much in self-focused endeavors, because when the tragedy hits, we not be able to reach out to God as we should. How are you going to call for help if you don't know his number? You know, we teach children, you know, what's the number you call if you're injured? 911, right? What about your soul? What's the number you call when the soul is damaged? I always tell children this. Guess what? I'm the 911 for your soul. The sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. Believe me, I get those calls in the middle of the night sometimes. Because the soul needs healing as well. Do not worry. As long as we hold fast to our faith, he will reach out to us if we reach out to him. As we proclaimed in the psalm, praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted. Do we ever stop serving? No, we do not. The answer is no. Jesus visits Peter's mother-in-law who lay sick with a fever. He cured her, the fever left her, and she waited on them. She knew her obligation and continued the work the Lord intended for her. Even if you are ill or infirm, you still never stop serving. When I visit the sick and the dying, after I've prayed and anointed them, if they are conscious, I ask them, please do me a favor, pray for me. I need all the help I can get. I help them fulfill God's desire to pray without ceasing. Like I said, sinner though I am, I need all the help I can get. So I'll pray for you. Please pray for me. So, Lent begins in 10 days. It's a great opportunity to draw closer to God. Not that we should make our lives on earth more of a drudgery. You know, what is your Lenten discipline? But start praying about those things that hold you back and keep you reaching heaven. Let us continue to do the work God intends for us, knowing that we will be greatly rewarded.